People of the world, it's The Brothers Talk with your hosts Rod, Scott, and Norm, and we're glad you join us each Friday wherever you listen to your favorite podcast to hear our take as three Black, unfiltered African-American men with no strings attached, giving voice to the most feared, most misunderstood, and most rarely heard from segment of the population on topics of interest to us for education, enlightenment, and entertainment. We're excited to continue spreading the message that promotes critical thinking and thoughtful conversations, advocating for social activism, and uplifting people everywhere. We're also inviting you to join us as we continue the work of encouraging and educating everyone with the edifying task of identifying, endorsing, and inspiring new and existing Black businesses and individuals for the empowerment and prosperity of our community. Send your comments, questions, and suggestions, and follow us on Facebook, on X, formerly known as Twitter, at The Brothers Talk, The Brothers Talk on Instagram, and you can email us, thebrotherstalk@gmail.com. And stay tuned for details about our YouTube channel, our upcoming book, and tour dates. And now on with this week's program. Hello, Brothers Talk family and all of our first-time listeners as we welcome you in and around the world, wherever you're listening in, and we hope 2024 is treating you well thus far. Jumping right into your weekly coronavirus awareness alert because we care and we don't want to see you hospitalized or worse. The most recent data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention shows flu levels are either high or very high in at least 38 states as of the week ending December 30th. The CDC reported an estimated 10 million illnesses from flu last week, up from 7 million the week before. That's neck and neck with COVID and the new fast-spreading JN.1 strain. And once again, the triple-demic warnings are in effect because RSV is also still in the mix and rising due to the bump in holiday travel. Last week, we mentioned the return of masking guidelines by healthcare facilities, and with this latest report, that's certainly going to continue to ramp up. So unless you just want to get sick, get vaccinated or get your boosters to arm and protect yourself and your loved ones and insist that they all are vaccinated too. Remember to wear your mask in crowded situations, wash your hands regularly, use plenty of disinfectants, and if you or your children do get sick, stay home until the contagious period passes, which is 5 days for COVID, 4 days for the flu, and 8 days for RSV from when you first notice you have symptoms. Who wants to start out the year in the hospital or worse from these preventable diseases? We can and we must do better. And now to my brothers in the struggle for critical thinking, Scott and Norm.
Thanks, Rod. And thanks, family, for your continued support. As Rod said, we've been talking about this the entire year about the pandemic, and it's here. And I think that the experts at CDC, because they got such a pushback about recommendations that they were giving people in terms of getting vaccinated and wearing masks, that they're just kind of flying under the radar and they're just going to let it happen. But more and more news reports are coming out about how hospitals are filling up and how easily transmitted this new variant is, and that we're basically in the midst of it. And, you know, there's not a lot of TV coverage about it. So protect yourself, protect your family, your loved ones, get vaccinated, and wear your mask. Norm?
And I'd just like to remind our listening audience about Elijah McClain, the young man in Aurora, Colorado, who was murdered by the police and the EMS workers. Well, one of the police officers was found guilty of manslaughter. And as usual, he was sentenced to about 14 months in the county jail, not even actual prison. It's imperative that we stay on top of our federal lawmakers and get a real crime bill or eliminate the immunity that these police officers have when they commit real crimes against our people and the citizens of this country. It's important we stay on top of this.
All right. So once again, let's start out with some topics. We want to give a shout out to the Biden administration because it looks like they're listening to the Brothers Talk podcast. At least someone in their administration is, because they took a cue and began to go a bit on the offensive regarding, you know, 45 is out there saying a lot of things that are not only racist and dictatorial, but he's making some promises that finally Joe Biden himself decided to come out and call him the biggest threat to the democratic process. And he's gone after him to say that what he did was not only unconstitutional, but a threat to our very way of life. So what do you guys think as far as Biden finally having at least some cojones and starting to come out and speak against the 45 campaign?
I mean, I think what Biden did was really a great service to the country, because you have two shows, MSNBC and CNN, are constantly like screaming to the top of their lungs, like the house is on fire. Hey, democracy is being challenged. I mean, we're in trouble. And what bothers me is the everyday Joe Schmo doesn't seem to be paying attention to what's going on. You know, you can't really engage people. I've tried to engage folks other than Rod and Noam about this situation. And they just really, people really think it's not going to happen or it can't happen. And they don't see what's happening. They don't see what 45 is doing. It's something wrong. Something is really, really wrong. There's something, some information missing, something that we don't know. When you have almost half of the country, at least a third of the country, who really are willing to try to allow 45 to get back into office so that we can have a dictatorship and an authoritarian government. And it just seems like some people want that. And if you're Black and you think that 45 getting back into office is going to be something that's positive for you, you're wrong. If you take a look at how he talks about minorities, and in particular all the dog whistles, he doesn't even do dog whistles anymore when it comes to Black people. He's already said what he's going to do on day one. And I don't understand why there aren't any commercials out there constantly hammering that fact home that this guy said, I'm going to be a dictator. He said, oh, only on day one. Yeah, right. So I really appreciate the fact that President Biden did that, but he needs some more support from other folks in his administration and in his party to come out strongly and say the same type things.
What do you think, Norm?
Well, it's about time, actually. But the real issue is the Republicans have mastered the art of creating an echo chamber of misinformation and talking points, which literally they bout religiously among their whole party. The Democrats, they really don't have any agenda or any, you know, policies that they're trying to communicate to the public. They have no actual message, which has really killed them in the past and really will really hurt them in the upcoming elections. They need a message that is choreographed for their demographic and for their specific audience, and they just don't have that. And to beg them, I mean, we have to sit here and have a discussion about the sitting president actually going after the leader of the other party. That shouldn't even be a discussion. That should be automatic. And the fact that we have to actually discuss Biden going after Trump, that's just wasted time. That shouldn't even be a point of discussion. But unfortunately, they're so terrible at getting their message across that it is. He should be talking about the policies and the things that he's done, the legislations he's gotten passed, and the jobs he's created. That's what he should be discussing, but he can't even do that at this point.
So let's stick with that for a moment, because I'm listening to what both of you are saying. And I'm wondering out loud now if the problem isn't the diversity of the Democratic Party as far as messaging goes. Because when you are the Republicans, let's face it, they are, as a party, around things like, you know, abortion rights and the border, et cetera, that they can just focus on those. Is the problem that the Democrats, because they attempt to cater to so many different interests, that they cannot come up with a coherent message? Because, you know, I think I was hearing some of the concerns that both of you raised, and I totally agree with you. But then I'm thinking out loud, as I said, that when you have so many different factions of the Democratic Party, is that part of the problem?
That may be some part of the problem. But I think the biggest part of the problem is the way that the Democrats communicate information to the regular folks. You know, instead of saying, Hey, just come out and say they tried to overthrow the government. And all you, I haven't heard anybody, they still saying insurrection. They're still saying insurrection. Nobody's listening to that. But when you say overthrow the government, yeah, we saw that. You know, we saw what they did on TV. And I think that's a big part of it. Another part of it is we talked about this ad nauseum, the fact that the leadership in the Democratic Party, they can't relate. You know, at some point you have to step down off any job. You know, it's time to go. You can't just be there for a lifetime. And that's what's, to me, that's happening because they're not grooming younger people, bringing in young, new ideas. If you take a look at the way that technology has taken off, I mean, technology is leading, is just moving at breakneck speed. So there's changing in technology, the way that things are being innovated, the way that we work, innovation. But there's no innovation in the Democratic Party. And I think that's the biggest problem that they're dealing with, the lack of innovation, the lack of new, fresh blood and fresh energy.
I totally agree with you there, Scott. It's totally the leadership. They have not groomed any young leadership. And anytime you have a young movement in this country, anytime young people have galvanized and gotten together and tried to make change, the Democratic Party has come in and destroyed the movement. Anytime. So they're not really trying to reach out to young people. They're not really trying to reach out to different demographics and to actually give them a voice within the party. They're trying to keep that corporate stronghold on that party and guide it in their direction. And that's the real problem. The leadership of that party is just bought and sold by corporate America, and that's who they represent. And that's why there are no other voices out there within that party that have been able to actually articulate any real change policy-wise or what have you. The corporate structure is just taking ownership of it.
So let's stick with this topic even a little bit more, because the average age of the Republicans in Congress is basically 2 years younger than the Democrats. So you got for senators, it's 64 for Democrats, it's 62 for Republicans. It's 59 for Democrats in the House of Representatives and 67 for Republicans. So how is it then that the Republicans are managing to resonate with their base to a degree that the Democrats are not?
Well, yeah, well, we just take a look at, leadership may not be that different in age, but not that's not too much of a difference. But when you take a look at the people who are out there speaking in the public, you know, the crazies, you know, you got the Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, you got all of those people who are probably under 50. I don't see that other than the squad, and they kind of put a muzzle on them. I don't see that in the Democratic Party. You know, the leadership, for some reason, they like to be the face and they like to be the voice. Whereas Republicans, they don't always do that. You know, they let younger members of the House go out there and deliver their message.
And as I mentioned before, the Republicans have mastered the talking points, the echo chamber, and they're really on message. They do a great job of being on message no matter the demographic, no matter the age. So they can have young people go out and spout the same talking points, regardless of the environment, of the location. And you just don't have that on the Democratic side. You literally have the same 80-year-olds going everywhere, talking the same thing. And really, no one's listening to anybody that age. I mean, if you want to talk to young people, you can't use the same platforms that you would use to talk to seniors. It just does not work.
So I think you both are answering the question regarding how the Republicans communicate versus the Democrats, because we do realize that, you know, nobody puts any restraint on MTGs and the Gates and the Boberts and so forth like they do on the squad. But another problem that I think that we need to raise is, why don't the Democrats have a real think tank of sorts that creates a consistent message? Now, we know on the Republican side for the longest time, it was basically Rupert Murdoch was effectively creating these messages and they resonated throughout the Republican Party because they had the talking points. So what is it that keeps the Democrats from having the same type of messaging that puts everybody on point, that they're not harping on Biden's successes and having literally everybody who is in front of a microphone having the same message?
And that, you know, that's the million dollar question there is, why aren't they doing that? You know, and like I said, I think it's because they want the glory. They want the attention. They want the credit. I can't think of any other reason other than they want the accolades. They want the acknowledgement, because it just doesn't make any sense. At some point, you got to groom somebody. You're not going to live forever. You know, none of us are going to live forever. But at some point, you need to be grooming somebody else. But you don't need to be grooming a person in their 60s. You know, there need to be people now, like the Republicans have, the young Republicans on most colleges in the country. I don't think the Democrat has an apparatus like that. You know, the Republicans have, you know, Steve Bannon show, the War Room. Democrats, they don't have anything like that. You know, the Republicans got Fox News, which I don't understand how they've been allowed to it's just a propaganda machine. The Democrats, they have, MSNBC and CNN, they don't really have them, because what they try to do is they just try to speak truth and try to be an alternative to Fox News. But Fox News is just, hey, we are here to make money, and it doesn't matter how we do it, you know, whether we lie, make it up, whatever. We're going to do everything but tell the truth. And the Democrats don't have things like that, apparatus like that.
You know, again, the Republicans have done a masterful job about having their message spread from the local level to the state level to the federal level. They literally are on point on each level in this society regarding what they want to accomplish. The Democrats have no plan. The Democrats are helter-skelter, and the Democrats actually are just reactionary to what the Republicans are doing. The Democrats have not been out in front with their message, with their goals, or what have you. All they can say is that we are not them. That's literally their talking point, and that has not worked in the past, and it will not work in the future.
So there you have it. Biden administration, we put some nuggets into this podcast for you, so we hope that as you listen, you will hear some strategies that you could and should be using. So we will listen in to hear if you take us up on any of these strategies, because it seems so simple that if you don't, we really have to question whether or not you're serious about winning the next election. In our Black Business Spotlight, meet Terry Johnson, a 47-year-old African-American woman from New York City who turned her love for Harlem's cultural heritage into a thriving luxury candle business. In 2015, she founded Harlem Candle Company using $50,000 originally saved for her wedding, and now her company has an annual revenue of $2 million. Not that we're advising anyone against marriage, but as we begin a new year, it's a good time to reflect and consider including what to do with stored up resources. This sister decided that a better use of the monies that were earmarked for a big wedding would be better utilized in pursuit of her passion for celebrating Harlem's roots. Harlem Candle Company, which initially sold $50 luxury candles each, has grown into a business worth $2 million in annual sales. Her luxury candles, which pay homage to the Harlem Renaissance, are now sold in 134 stores, including major retailers like Nordstrom, Bloomingdale's, and Macy's. She's also ventured into corporate gifting, securing clients such as JPMorgan Chase, Google, and Meta. What sets her candles apart is the storytelling aspect, each fragrance and packaging telling the tales of Black luminaries such as Josephine Baker, Duke Ellington, and Langston Hughes, among others. And we support and send kudos to her. So please do your best to follow her and find out more about her at her official website, harlemcandlecompany.com, and be sure to follow her brand on Instagram at Harlem Candle Company. And remember, our ongoing Black Business Spotlight theme is Let's Relaunch Black Wall Street Nationwide. That's a wrap for this week's show. And remember to follow us and share your thoughts with us by sending your comments, as well as your questions and show ideas to The Brothers Talk on X, that was Twitter, @The Brothers Talk. And catch us on Facebook, Instagram, or email us to brotherstalk@gmail.com. As always, God willing, we'll continue to keep our focus on the issues that impact our community on the path to a better future. Until our next episode, know that we sincerely appreciate your time, your interest, and you can rest assured that we'll never take it or you for granted. And finally, let's all do better today, because that's all we really have.